The final debate, Kennedy versus Ballard, is in the home stretch. Why African American ministers could decide the race. FreedomWorks endorses Richard Murdoch. Rupert makes it official, and Right to Work is back on the table. That, plus the governor entertains prison inmates and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending October 28, 2011.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
This week, Democrat Melina Kennedy and Republican Greg Ballard met in their final debate. The candidates for mayor of Indianapolis clashed early in the Wish TV debate over a fundraising invitation that listed Deputy Mayor Michael Huber as a host. The mayor said it was a mistake corrected in 90 minutes. Kennedy called it an ethics violation.
It's a direct violation to put your name if you have contracting signing authority on an invitation.
You don't accept that that was a mistake?
Well, what happened was they could have not gone to the fundraiser.
Mayor, should he have avoided that fundraiser after that mistake?
No, because that was a mistake by a counselor candidate, and it was a simple mistake, and he pulled the name. Now, you must understand, in the previous administration, that would have been legal.
Were the debates in the race for mayor enlightening? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Jennifer Wagner, Republican Eric Holcomb, Leslie Weidenbender, editor for the Franklin College News Bureau, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shellett. Jennifer Wagner, will that debate matter on November 8th?
You know, I think to your bigger question, the debates have been really helpful. Obviously, this has been a lower key race, and I think people have learned a lot from those debates. But I think the bigger question here is one of leadership. And especially in the last 2 weeks, we've kind of seen the wheels fall off of Mayor Ballard's campaign, as well as his administration, with a series of, I would say, mistakes leading up to this lightbox travesty in the last 2 days. And I think we've seen Melina run a really strong campaign, and that's really starting to shine through, especially now in comparison.
All right. Lightbox is a California company that announced this week that it will create 1,100 jobs in Indianapolis with the help of state and local incentives. But we've learned that there are tax liens against the owner, a judgment in a business case. Doesn't look like maybe it's the most secure plan.
Thankfully, taxpayers aren't at risk here. It's the entrepreneur who always takes the risk, and it's not surprising that in a quickness, Melina Kennedy got out of the gate and started criticizing jobs that could come to this community, potentially so.
Yet the mayor says he wasn't aware of tax liens and legal problems.
And the city and taxpayers, most importantly, aren't at risk or are going to be held accountable for anything in the future. So if they don't perform, if they're held accountable, not the taxpayers, and that's the key here.
That is true, because most of these incentives are only provided if investment and jobs are created.
Yeah,
but it doesn't change the perception problem that comes along when someone is around for a big public announcement about a company, and then it turns out that it seems like it might all be a little shaky. That doesn't particularly look good for the mayor or for the governor, frankly, in this situation.
Well, and what we're talking about is perception of voters, because this comes 2 weeks, the announcement, 2 weeks before the election. It should be beneficial to Greg Ballard. The Kennedy campaign is going overboard to try to create the impression that they jumped the gun here. Can you find reality in there?
Yeah, I can find reality. The mayor's office thought they had a coup, and understandably so. Here is the person who said, I want to bring 1,100 jobs to your community, and I want to do it in a hurry. Can you help me? And you know, they said yes. But the Kennedy administration is absolutely right about the fact that they didn't do the vetting they should do. Look, newspapers after the fact, anybody with Google, found all of the information that has now turned damning in this case, and you have to wonder why they didn't know that before they made the announcement. And if they did know that before the announcement, why wasn't it relevant to it? And why didn't it cause them to at least have some modicum of concern about this person's ability to provide these jobs as he's promised? So I think the reality is they thought they had a coup, and the Kennedy administration and the subsequent information shows that they probably don't.
You're not at all concerned that it's going to look like Melina Kennedy criticizes whatever comes up?
Absolutely not. This is a solid hit. This guy has, there's a lot of questions surrounding this person, this company, which isn't even registered in California, may or may not be making a prototype. No one really knows the answers. And I think the bigger question that Melina Kennedy's campaign has been asking is, how did this happen? How did this happen with a state government and a city government that's supposed to vet these things? How did this happen?
I do want to jump in. I actually think, though, I do believe that those are legitimate questions, but I do think that it does sort of look that way. I do think that most people are not going to spend a lot of time reading all the details here, and I do think it sounded a little bit like she's jumping on anything that he announces.
The comforting part is this project is performance-based. So when it is built, Hoosiers will build it, right? We will have jobs, so we'll see.
Or maybe not, yeah. but I don't think the whole jobs question is a next year question. What we're talking about now is a political issue, yeah. and whether folks should look and say Greg Ballard's doing a great job creating jobs, or he's trying to pull the wool over somebody's eyes.
Or trying to pull a fast one by claiming credit for something that may not come. And given the subsequent information, looks like it probably won't come. So, you know, I hope that those jobs are created, but I have to admit that I'm pretty skeptical about it at this point.
All right, still with the race for mayor, African Americans make up the most important voting bloc in Indianapolis. That's why Democrat Melina Kennedy and Republican Greg Ballard squabbled in the Wish TV debate over suggestions in a Democratic radio ad that Ballard is racist. The Ballard campaign then came out with a competing ad.
Republican Greg Ballard is the only mayor in 25 years to not appoint an African American as head of fire, police, public safety, or a major city department.
It's just not right what some people are saying. We know Mayor Greg Ballard is a good man.
I think that we can do something different. I think we can do something better.
I am supporting Mayor Ballard because he supported what I was doing in the community until...
And that's Pastor Richard Willoughby, preceded by Reverend Jeffrey Johnson, Eric Holcomb. Will black voters decide this race?
Well, they will in part, of course. Every vote matters. The important thing about this is I think this is another example of Melina Kennedy's attack MO, and it's backfiring. What we're learning is people are calling the Ballard campaign and saying, how can we help? We know this man. We've watched him run the city for the last 4 years, and we want to help. They know better. So I think it was another misplayed chance on Melina Kennedy's part.
Clearly, the Democratic Party, and Kennedy's tried to separate herself from the Marion County Democratic Party, if you can do that, but the Democratic Party played the race card. Is it required in this case?
I don't think they played the race card. I don't think that the allegation that someone has called Mayor Ballard racist is accurate. Here's what happened.
No, well, nobody's come right out and done it, but that's certainly the suggestion.
I think this is an indication of a greater problem. Were the two words he used in that debate, were those alone, you know, going to be the...
Well, he referred to minorities
difficult
as a...
population.
Right.
Are those two words alone going to decide the race? No, but it's indicative of a bigger problem, and that is that he is out of touch. You know, the clip of the ad that you just played, he hasn't appointed really African-American or even, he's got, I think, one woman in a leadership position to any positions of authority in his administration. And, you know, there is a large, diverse population in Marion County that is not represented by Mayor Ballard.
We see the candidates in ads. We see ads that are produced dealing with issues. But the only people in advertising for either side other than the candidates are black ministers. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells me that your premise is very accurate and most likely will be determinative in the outcome of the race. Look, you know, there's a significant African-American community in Marion County. Many times the majority of those folks will vote Democrat. And there's a theory that I think holds a lot of saliency, is that a lot of African-American voters stayed home last time, and that's one of the reasons why Mayor Peterson was defeated. And so clearly the Kennedy campaign wants to motivate the African-American community to vote, and there's clearly an effort to do that. But I have to say, I do take exception with the characterization of the mayor's words in that radio ad. I think that's below the belt characterization. Now, it's factual to say that the mayor has failed to appoint any African Americans to key points. That's fair. He hasn't, or he has. But to characterize, the difficult population as a racist comment, I think is probably unfair.
I think you're right on that point. But what do you, 27.4% of the population, according to the last census in Indianapolis, is African American. Is that the largest voting block out there?
I would say it's 27%, so you can't say it's the largest voting block out there. But I mean, obviously it's key. And I think it would be wrong for Melina Kennedy's campaign to assume that all the African Americans are going to vote for Democrats. And in fact, I don't think that's what they're doing. That's why they're putting these ads and this rhetoric is out there, because I think they want to try to make sure that the African Americans vote Democratic and they do show up at the polls.
Moving on. Richard Murdoch picked up another national endorsement this week. It was awarded on the same night that the fall Indiana GOP dinner took place. That's where Richard Lugar was a favorite. But at the airport Radisson, Lugar was a target. That's where FreedomWorks, a national Tea Party-affiliated political action committee, weighed in on the Senate primary.
FreedomWorks PAC is endorsing Richard Murdoch for the U.S. Senate in 2012.
There is this sense that there is something out of control in our nation's capital, and there is a sense that we don't have much time left to change course and to fix the problem.
These are people who have great convictions, but they're not Hoosiers. They really have nothing to do with this state. They're trying to demonstrate their clout in the Congress, and they utilize whoever they can find.
John Katzenberger, does it matter that those people are outsiders?
Well, as far as the senator is concerned and in his comment there, it matters only in the sense of whether they are able to or unable to motivate Hoosiers at the polls. Look, this is a significant development in the sense that it continues to lend assistance to a campaign that, a year ago people thought somewhat unthinkable. There's the promise of money and the promise of assistance. I think both of those things are important to Murdoch if he's going to be able to win, and it's going to have to translate into votes, clearly. But whether they're from outsiders or insiders in Indiana, it's going to be Hoosiers that make the difference at the poll.
Actually, in the case of FreedomWorks, they're not going to give Murdoch money. They will spend their own money.
On behalf of Richard Murdoch.
Actually, I think it's probably going to be in opposition to Richard Lugar.
That's sort of the same thing. The truth is that anything you do to try to defeat Senator Lugar is going to help Richard Murdoch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do think that John's right. I mean, it all comes down to how active they are and how much they spend in Indiana.
And how many of them there are, because Club for Growth's already been playing here, Tea Party Express, now FreedomWorks. George Will this week suggested that Richard Lugar's in jeopardy.
Well, I have to start with my disclaimer that the state party doesn't get involved in primaries, but what I take a great comfort in is that once we get through next May, I'm pretty confident that we'll send...
You don't take part in primaries, but you were presiding over the fall GOP dinner last week. You introduced Richard Lugar to the crowd, did you?
I introduced everyone that was there.
Did you introduce Richard Murdoch?
I did. Okay. He was there.
Okay. He didn't get the same reaction.
I introduced both U.S. senators.
For my part, every week that goes by that we're talking about Dick Lugar and Dick Murdoch is a good week for Joe Donnelly, who's just plugging along, listening to Hoosiers, creating jobs, and these guys keep fighting.
And hoping that Richard Lugar's defeated.
I wouldn't necessarily say that.
No, or...
I think either way, this is going to be a bloody primary, and whoever comes out of it on Eric's side is going to be battered and bruised.
I'm pretty confident in 2012 we'll send the next Republican president to Republican United States senators.
All right. What do you think, as state chairman, about the idea of independent groups coming in here and spending large amounts of money?
Well, I agree. It comes down to we're the only ones that can vote. So this is nothing new. We've always seen outside groups come in congressional races. This is a
senatorial
race.
We're going to see it at a greater level than what we've ever seen before.
We're also going to see it in a primary, which is not where we normally see it. Normally we see it in the general election, but this is going to be a totally different situation, having it happen in the primary. And I do think it's interesting that Richard Lugar spent some time talking about how these were people who were from out of state, because there's no doubt that a lot of the people who are going to be coming to Senator Lugar's defense are going to be people from out of state.
Moving on. The race for governor in 2012 got a little louder this week.
I am seeking the Libertarian Party's nomination for governor of Indiana.
That is Survivor All-Star contestant Rupert Bono making it official. The 47-year-old told supporters in Indianapolis that it's time for a change. He said if elected, he'll focus on creating better-paying jobs, reducing school dropouts, and closing what he called the revolving door in Indiana's prison system, issues he says professional politicians have ignored.
I've been talking with small businesses, with fellow Hoosiers from across the state, hearing a lot of concerns, hearing that we are worried about paying our house mortgage, paying our rent, paying for our insurance, paying for our children's education. There are a lot of issues facing Hoosiers right now. I am ready to stand up and face them all.
Leslie Weidenbender, can he be a serious candidate?
I actually think yes. I really do. I have to tell you that one of our reporters, Megan Banta, went to interview him. We did a long interview with him. He talked more about the issues that Hoosiers care about than I've heard from some of the other candidates. So, I mean, I think he actually is talking about the things that people care about. And, you know, I mean, he may not be a conventional candidate, but that doesn't mean that he, you know, won't get some attention.
Rupert's difficulty is going to be able to convince people that he is serious about mm-hmm. these issues and that he can be a serious candidate, but he does have the advantage. I mean, he's been on national television in all kinds of situations, and he won a contest, a popularity contest.
Easily,
doing that. So he, you know, intrinsically understands that side of the equation. So if he can help people understand that he is serious about this, who's to say what could happen?
There are libertarians who see him as something of a savior. They think that he's going to transform their entire party and make it meaningful.
Look, he's well known. He's running as a libertarian. That can only be good for them. I can't really name many other libertarians in the state of Indiana. So that's great for them. And look, he's going to make the race more fun. And ultimately, you know, as my husband was pointing out to me, even if he loses, he's going to raise a lot of money for his charity, and that helps kids. That's great.
You think so?
He's
going to raise money for a campaign first, right?
Right, but even if he loses, he's going to raise his profile, and he's not going to become an unlovable candidate.
Okay.
You say the race got louder, as in tie-dye T-shirt louder. Look, I mean, I'm kind of agreeing with everyone here. Surprise, surprise. But I think that he's got a good heart. But running for governor is a serious business. You have to put together a massive organization. Your message has to resonate. And we'll see, you know, come next year if we need to be doing op research on season 7 of the Survivor show.
I have to say,
you haven't started with the op research.
That would be a fun intern project.
I can assure you that
of all the libertarian candidates that I've ever covered, he talked more about the kinds of things that you were talking about.
Right.
The awareness of the kind of money he would have to raise, awareness of the amount of work that it would take. He seems more prepared than most independent or third-party candidates in understanding what he has to do.
But part of what you got to do is build an organization.
And it's not a reality show.
Sure.
Well, yeah. It's not a reality show, and you do have to build an organization. But that's kind of what I was getting at with the popularity aspect. If people are convinced that he's sincere about the issues and they are uncertain about what they want to do, then I think regardless of what their traditional party affiliation would be, they might come to him and work with him and for him.
And
this.
I think we're in a time where people seem to be seeking something different, a different kind of candidate or a different kind of organization. And I think that just plays into
that's
hands.
The rub. People are seeking something authentic.
And you think he's authentic?
We'll see.
How do you get more authentic than that? He's Rupert. He's authentic. He wears tie-dye.
But he gave up the tie-dye for the
announcement. I know. I was kind of surprised.
He's got his own Vegas slot machine.
He's trying to tell people that he's serious. That's the giving up the tie-dye.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, will Rupert play a meaningful role in the race for governor? Your choices are A, yes, B, no, or C, he won't even win the Libertarian nomination. Last week's question was, should Indiana change the requirement for getting on the presidential ballot? 26% said yes, it's too difficult. 55% said no, it eliminates fringe candidates. 19% said a lower threshold makes more sense. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. The issue that prompted a five-week walkout by Democrats in the Indiana House of Representatives earlier this year will be back in front of lawmakers in January. A study committee in the General Assembly voted this week to recommend passage of a right-to-work law in 2012. A crowd of union workers was on hand. They say right-to-work legislation will lead to lower wages and make workplaces more dangerous. The vote was on party lines with Republicans in the majority.
I believe it is divisive. I understand that, but I think it's the right thing to do for the state of Indiana.
They have stripped away the voice of the minority. And I can't tell you where it leads from here other than a very strong fight to keep Indiana from going right to work.
That's Representative David Nizgotsky, preceded by Senator Phil Boots. Jennifer Wagner, will Democrats walk out again?
I don't know, but I can tell you this. Democrats are ready to fight this, just as we fought it last session, because it's an issue of, you know, continuing to lower the standard for working Hoosiers. It's a race to the bottom. And, you know, right to work hasn't been proved to create jobs, has actually lowered wages in the states it's been enforced. And I feel like you're going to see Democrats fight this to the bitter end.
This year, the governor convinced Republican leaders in the General Assembly to put this issue off, send it to a study committee. That's been done. Will the governor support this issue next time around? Will he support it, debating it?
We'll see. I was pleased that the Democrats actually showed up to work and voted on this issue. So I think that bodes well for next year. I'm hoping they'll be there to vote on this issue and debate the issue instead of sending negotiations via courier pigeon from Illinois. But I'm anxious to see what the Speaker of the House, Bosma's agenda is, Senator Long's agenda is, the governor's agenda is, and what this tells us is, you know, every session during the Daniels era has been a bold session, and we've had a lot of fun, and this just shows you that next session, his last, you know, bite at the apple will be as well.
Okay.
What's interesting, though, this time is that in the last session, the governor had a whole bunch of stuff on the table that he really cared about.
That was
jeopardized by this. But that actually plays the other way, too, because if there's nothing really on the table other than right to work that Hoosiers, frankly, are all that exercised about, then I'm not sure that it hurts Democrats to leave. I mean, what's not going to get done that people are going to be upset about?
Any chance that the Democrats might recognize that they can't stop this and actually just let it go through without kicking and concentrate on other things?
You know, I think that I think Jen's absolutely telling the truth. I think Democrats will fight this thing tooth and nail. Whether they come, whether they don't, I think we'll have to see. But there may be some wisdom in, you know, fighting this, fighting it head on and losing, and then taking the issue to voters and saying, look, this is why you need us in the majority. And that may be a good strategy for Democrats.
So they could lose the battle and win the next war is what you're saying.
Well, it's a long shot because of the maps that they didn't have any input in last time, but it's possible.
And this issue directly affects our base. It directly talks to people who are out there working every day in a way that people at Statehouse don't necessarily see. I mean, you can characterize the walking out however you want to, but that was based on representatives hearing from their constituents that was the right thing
unions,
to do.
Unions don't have the clout they used to have, but they're an important...
Working people do.
They're an important group, a constituent group for Democrats,
yeah,
right?
I remember counting all the trucks from out of state that came in last time while the Democrats were out of state themselves.
I have to say, I interviewed a lot of those union workers, and I ran across a couple that were from Kentucky that worked in Indiana, but otherwise the vast majority of people I talked to were Hoosiers. And I know that Republicans have said all along that they brought in all these people, but I didn't talk to them.
Finally, Governor Mitch Daniels hosted a reception in his office this week for prison inmates. It was a reward for refinishing the woodwork in the office while Daniels was on a book tour. The governor served cake and took some time to talk football with his visitors. You address the governor as Mitch, right?
Oh, yeah, Mitch. Yeah, yeah, you know, my main man, Mitch. You don't remember the, remember how they used to say that? My main man, Mitch. My main man, Mitch.
Eric Holcomb, how do you address the governor?
Boss. You know, this is all about getting back on your feet and doing good for others. It's a win-win.
But when you're in the governor's office, it's appropriate to address him as governor, isn't it?
I do.
Governor or sir, but I think, you know, this is a nice event that he did, and I think there's been kind of below the surface a large commitment to prison reform and our correctional system, and I think that's actually something that he should be commended for.
Absolutely. That's an important aspect for the long-term health of the state as well.
We could see more of this sort of thing, couldn't we? I mean, and the opportunity should be there to get prison inmates to do that, like rebuilding the covered bridge in Moscow.
There's been much more of that, no doubt, under the Daniels administration.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Jennifer Wagner, Republican Eric Holcomb, Leslie Weidenbender of Franklin College, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast, or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity. Just go to Hoosier TV and look for Indiana Week in Review under News. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Things can go wrong in 1,000 different ways. Businesses need a law firm that knows the 1,000 and first. The team of legal professionals at Ice Miller is committed to helping put the pieces back together. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.